Today on Life Talk.
I'm beat down, beat up. I am so tired of trying and failing and thinking this is going to happen and then that happens instead and my hopes being dashed and I just don't know where God is and I don't know what to do. I'll tell you what to do. Get to church where they encourage one another. That's what local church is for.
You're listening to Life Talk with Pastor Jeff Wickwire. Thanks for allowing us to share this time with you. It's our favorite time of the day where we get to hang out together and hear about how the truth of God's Word can make a huge difference in your life. And that's exactly what we're going to hear from Pastor Jeff today. You may be stuck in traffic or even stuck in life. Either way, today's message is going to help you get on the right track as you learn how much God loves you right where you are. And if for any reason you have to break away before the end of the program, you can always catch it at our website. In fact, you can find all the programs right there waiting just for you. LifeTalkRadio.us. So let's go ahead and get right into today's message. Here's Pastor Jeff to set it up for us.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Life Talk. I'm Jeff Wickwire, and thank you so much for joining us this time. Today, we're continuing the series, Encouragement for Discouraging Times. You know, people attend church for a variety of reasons, most good, but one key reason for Christians coming together on a weekly basis should be to encourage one another, especially as times grow darker and Jesus' return draws nearer. Today, we're continuing with part two of the message, How to Encourage One Another. So let's get right to it and see what God's Word has to say about this very important subject.
I want you to turn with me to Hebrews 10, verse 25, and I'm going to talk to you again about encouragement. Last week, we learned how to encourage ourselves. How many of you had to encourage yourself this week? Amen. So did I. Now, today, I'm going to talk to you about how to encourage one another, which is one of the great purposes of church. Hebrews 10, 25, and I'm reading out of the New King James Bible, and let's read it out loud together since it's only one verse. Are you ready? And let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. Encouraging words are always healing words. You know, one thing I've learned through the years, seriously, is the incredible power of words. I think most people don't realize that you have a major weapon in between your two sets of teeth. It can either be a blessing or a cursing. It can ruin a life or make a life. I have seen through the years, one stabbing, critical, careless word can literally turn a person's life in the wrong direction. You stupid, you're stupid. God helps people like you. You're so dumb. You don't have any talent. You're a waste of time. And something in them collapses. The power of words. Conversely, one uplifting, encouraging word can turn a person's life in a positive, constructive direction. Just one word of encouragement at the fork of a road in their life can cause them to go the right direction. I'm serious. Some destructive words are like hammers that instantly shatter a person's self-esteem and self-worth. Other destructive words I have observed go down into a person's soul and they accumulate and they manifest later down the road. And when they manifest, that spouse walks out, a child runs away, a friend disappears. And the person that's been speaking the negative words gets out of their lazy boy and says, how in the world did this happen? Well, turn off ESPN and think about it. What happened is their love slowly died, joy was extinguished, and loyalty dissolved away in the toxic acid of destructive, critical words. We don't understand the power of words. I was visiting a couple one night in their apartment many, many, many years ago, and they had just gotten married, and I had known them for years, and a beautiful girl, a guy that actually went back into my days in drugs, and he had gotten saved. But right in front of me, he criticized her. He made a joke at her expense that was rough. And as young as I was in God, I had a word of wisdom on the spot. His marriage is doomed. And I said, why, Lord, is his marriage doomed? Because he said what he said in front of you, and that is a harbinger of things to come if he doesn't get a hold of his words. See, you can't criticize people in your house ad infinitum without one day the whole thing rattling, shaking, and collapsing. Now, let me tell the opposite, because the opposite is very good news. You show me a happy marriage, or you show me a long-term fulfilling friendship, or you show me a good child-parent relationship, and I'll guarantee you that part of that relationship has been positive, uplifting words. Encouragement is the sunshine that makes a soul bloom like a spring rose. Now, sometimes, I know what you're thinking. You say, well, Jeff, sometimes we do need to say something corrective. You do. But you're never to say something corrective in a condemning, contemptuous, castigating, demeaning manner. Because that's not what Jesus does to you. How did Jesus talk to you last time you failed? Did he come up to you and say, well, you stupid idiot. I should have known. Isn't this always the story with you? You just can't get it right, can you? I'm wasting my grace and time on you. Did he say anything like that? No, he said, repent, I'll forgive you. I'll stand you back on your feet. I love you. My love hasn't diminished. I'm for you. Come on, get up. I'm behind you. It hasn't changed my love for you one bit. Isn't that what he says? Come on. Well, we need to realize the power of the tongue. People can tame all kinds of animals, James said. You can tame birds, reptiles. I don't know how you tame a fish, but that's what he says. You can tame fish. I didn't know that. Come here, Goldie. I didn't know you could do that, but he said it. Now, that's just free. I'm just tossing that out. People can tame all kinds of animals. Well, you can tame orca, can't you? Dolphins? So he's right. The Word of God's right. All right. I just had a revelation on the spot. Now, but no one can tame the tongue. You can't tame your tongue. The Holy Ghost can tame it, but you can't. It is restless and evil, and oh, it's full of deadly poison, your tongue. He says, with it we praise our Lord and Father, and then we turn right around and curse those who have been made in the image of God. And so blessing and cursing come pouring out of the same mouth. Surely, my brothers and sisters, this is not right. Now, God desires all of his children to be really good at encouraging. And I'm sharing this message in hopes that you don't just walk out and say, well, that was a good word. He sweated a lot. That was a good word. Good word, Pastor Jeff. But James says, if you go out and forget it, you've deceived yourself. We need to hear this and let it change us. Now, there's three powerful facts or truths on the power and need for encouragement. And let me just share them with you quickly. One, encouragement helps keep the believer from drifting from God. Hebrews 3, 12 to 13, beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But look at the antidote, but encourage one another annually. Oh, I'm sorry, I read it wrong. What does it say? How often? Some of you think I'm supposed to do this Christmas and Easter. Like the guy that comes up every year and pats me on the back and says, you bless me every Easter, Pastor. And then I never see him again for another year. Well, I didn't bless him too much, or he'd be back the next Sunday, right? Now watch. He says, encourage one another daily while it is called today. That means during the age of grace, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Now notice that he says, we should be encouraging one another, not weekly, not monthly, not sometimes, but all the time, daily. Who'd you encourage last week? Who'd you encourage last week? Come on, get up. You can do it. Let's go on in God. Come on. I called to encourage you, came over to encourage you, walked up to you to encourage you. Now, why does he say we need to do this? He tells us clearly, lest any of you depart from the living God. And then he tells us how this drifting can happen. Here's how it happens. Lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Wow. Everybody in this room is in a battle with sin. Oh, yes, we're redeemed. Yes, we have the Holy Ghost, but we've still got flesh. And every one of us this week battled against some kind of temptation to sin. If you're exempt from that last week, I want to meet you. I want you to lay hands on me. Now watch this. Sin, he's telling us, is always deceitful. Sin is always deceitful. That's how sin wins so often, because it's deceitful. I don't care how good it looks, how promising it appears, how justified it may seem. Sin always leaves you weeping in ashes of regret. Always. Now, let me give you a newsflash. At the moment of temptation, the devil never shows his hand. He holds his cards close to his demonic chest. He never tells you about the end of what he's presenting to you. The end results, the end consequences, he never tells you. He'll never do that. He never reveals consequences. He only reveals false benefits. That's it. He never reveals the consequences. If he did, nobody would do it. His expertise is in getting you to focus on the immediate gratification of his proposition and disguising the whole time the long-term consequences of his offer. He's never going to let you see the tears, the regret, the wreckage, the ruin. He's never going to show you that. He's only going to show you what's up front. Hey, if you'll do this, I promise you, you'll be fulfilled, you'll be happy, you will have found your niche in life, you're going to benefit somehow, some way from it, and it's always a lie. There's never a sin that there's not a promise attached to it. And the promise is a lie. Because sin always promises what it cannot perform. It assures you of pleasure that it never imparts. It leads you further than you ever intended to go. You thought you would go from A to B, and suddenly you find yourself at Z. And you wake up one day, and you're like, how did I get here? Because that's sin. Sin always takes you further than you wanted to go. Than you ever thought you would go, than you ever thought you could go. The person who commits sin is always under the delusion. They're going to benefit in a positive way, but it's all a lie, which is why the Bible calls it the deceitfulness of sin. Now he says, encouraging one another helps battle and the believer to win over the deceitfulness of sin. Sin is always built on a lie, and if you indulge it, it's going to lead you down step by step, incrementally, over time, until the Bible says your heart becomes entirely hardened, and that word hardened is from a word that means resistant to God's voice. It begins when you first go off into sin, you hear God, hey, what are you doing? A year later, hey, what are you doing? 2 years later, hey, what are you doing? 5 years later, huh? I don't hear you anymore. My conscience is seared. My heart is hard. Now the Bible says encouragement among the saints keeps you from drifting like that. Wow. That's what church is all about.
Pastor Jeff will be back in a moment, but first I want to share a couple of thoughts with you. First, you may not be able to stay with us for the entire program, but don't worry, you can find the full program at our website, lifetalkradio.us, along with all the programs. Lastly, we get emails and calls every week from listeners just like you who tell us how much the program means to them. But we want to hear from you too, so let me encourage you to connect with us by calling 877-884-3111, or you can email us through our website, lifetalkradio.us. That's lifetalkradio.us or call 877-884-3111. And now, let's go ahead and get back to Pastor Jeff with the rest of today's program.
So first, encouragement keeps the believer from drifting into the deception of sin. Second, encouragement will keep the faint-hearted from quitting. Some of you walked in here today, you've got a white flag in your back pocket. And you're thinking, any time now, it's coming out and I'm putting it up. And I'm done. Because I'm beat down, beat up. I am so tired of trying and failing and thinking this is going to happen. And then that happens instead. And my hopes being dashed. And I just don't know where God is. And I don't know what to do. I'll tell you what to do. Get to church where they encourage one another. Get to church where they encourage one another. That's what local church is for. 1 Thessalonians 5:14, we urge you, brothers and sisters, encourage the disheartened, which is the same as faint-hearted. Help the weak, be patient with everyone. Let me tell you about disheartened. It means small of soul. It refers to an undeveloped soul, somebody lacking a healthy identity. They're undeveloped in their character, which was Jeff Wickwire when I first came to Christ, and that's what that couple encouraged me out of. This is the timid, fearful person the easily overwhelmed, the easily overburdened type personality that just has trouble doing life, or the person that's crushed with discouragement. They're just crushed because of things that have happened in their life. And it says, encourage them. That's the serum. That's the antidote. That's the God pill. Encourage them. Encourage the ones who feel like they can't keep going on. They're in this room. They're in this room. You dragged to church today, and you used to skip to church. If nobody could bring you, you walked. You were there every time the door was open, but that zeal and zest is gone. This week, I got two calls, and both of them were, one of them was a semi-911, and one was a 911. The first one, I talked to a man who, I'm just going to tell you, when we were 14, 15 years old, we were in drugs together. I got saved first. I used to witness to him. He'd run from me in junior college. He'd see me coming and he'd run. He admits it. He knew I was going to hit him with the gospel. And so he'd run. But he got saved. He was a pastor for 25 years. But then he had a breakdown. His wife left him. He lost his church. He's lost his health. He has just learned that he's going to have to be on dialysis or get a kidney transplant. He is beat down. He said to me, Jeff, he said, the night before you called, I was in bed, and all I could do in bed was say, Jesus, 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 Jesus. That's all I could say. Well, I came and got him, drove to Dallas and got him, took him to a coffee shop where all good encouragement happens. There's an anointing on those places. And I just sat there with him for about an hour and a half. Then I took him out, got him some groceries, took him home, and I encouraged him. I said, hey, here's what I told him. I said, God's not done with you yet, and tears filled his eyes. I said, I know God's not done with you yet. And he began to weep. The tears streamed down his face. I said, God's not, the devil was telling him, you're finished, you're all washed up, there's nothing left, but it was a lie from the devil. And I said, God's not done with you yet. And that's all that it took. And then I got a call, and none of these people go here. Neither of these two people go here. They don't. But I got a call. So-and-so wants to see you. She's been put in a mental hospital. She wants to see you. I was stunned because this is a beautiful, winning, winsome, natural leader, teenage girl. Beautiful girl, full of potential. Will you come see me? Been a Christian as long as I've known her. So I went, walked in, sat down. First thing out of her mouth, I don't want to be here anymore. I'm done. I see no reason. I want to go. And you know what I did? I pulled the Bible out of my pocket, my sword, and I began to minister the word of God. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. God's not finished with you. Just because you're down, you're not out. You're not going down, you're going through. You're going to come out of this on the other side, and you're going to strengthen people when you get there. Don't you dare give up. Don't you put up the white flag. Don't you walk away. Don't you give up on God, because God hadn't given up on you. And I stayed there for an hour and 15 minutes. And by the time we were done, she was smiling, gave me a big hug. And I have all the hope in the world that it's going to change. But she got so far down, she wanted to check out. And so you don't sit there and say to somebody like that, well, you're a Christian. What are you doing with these kinds of thoughts? Boy, people like that make me nuts. Like Christians are supposed to be in some kind of a bubble where nothing happens to them. Hey, Christians hurt. Christians fail. Christians get wounded. Christians need help. Yeah. Bible says, cheer them up by using comforting, soothing, encouraging words. One man wrote, flatter me, and I may not believe you. Criticize me, and I may not like you. Ignore me, and I may not forgive you. But encourage me, and I will not forget you. One of the best examples I know, the power of encouragement to pick a person up and put them back on their feet, took place on New Year's Day in 1929. Listen to this. When Georgia Tech and the University of California played in the annual Rose Bowl football game. Some of you didn't know the Rose Bowl was that old. I said 1929, not 1992. And in that game, a man named Roy Riegels, the center for the California football team, recovered a fumble. And in all the excitement and pressure, he got hit. He got disoriented, and Riegels became confused and began running the wrong way. One of his teammates saw what was happening and ran with all of his might and tried to tackle him. On his side, his team was saying, "Stop, stop." And he thought they were saying, "All right, you gathered the fumble." The other side, that team, wasn't saying anything. Glory to God, don't say nothing. He's running towards our goal. He ran past the 50, past the 40, past the 30, past the 20, past the 10. And on the 2-yard line, his teammate finally caught him and tackled him. That was during the first half. Everybody was wondering what Coach Nibbs Price would do with Roy Riegels in the second half. During the halftime break, Riegels sat alone in a corner in the locker room, wrapped a blanket around his shoulders, put his hands in his face, and he cried like a baby. 3 minutes before the start of the second half, Coach Price looked at the team and said something that startled them all. "Men, the same team that played the first half will start the second." Riegels didn't move. The coach called him and said, "Roy, come on." He didn't move. Coach Price went over to where Riegels sat and said, "Roy, didn't you hear me? The same team that played the first half will start the second." And Riegels said, "Coach, I can't do it to save my life. I've ruined you. I've ruined the University of California. I've ruined myself. I couldn't face that crowd in the stadium to save my life." Then Coach Price, clearly being a wise man, reached out and put his hand on Riegel's shoulder and said, "Roy, get up and go on back. The game is only half over." Oh, I like that. That moves on me. Because see, some of you have been going the wrong way. And you feel like, "I've ruined my life. I can't face people again. I don't know what I'm going to do. I've ruined everything by going the wrong way." But listen, Jesus is standing there saying, "Get back up." He's calling you by name and saying, "Get back up. Get on your feet. It's only halfway through the game. Get back up. You've still got some plays to make. You've still got some balls to carry. Get back up. Get back up." It's true. And if you think that's not Jesus, you don't know my Jesus, because he said to Simon Peter, "You denied me. You walked away from me. You said you never knew me. You did it with cursing. But Peter, I'm here to tell you to get back up. You're going to preach on the day of Pentecost and you're still my man." Come on, everybody. You haven't failed so bad they call you Wrong Way Roy. Which they did. "Here comes old Wrong Way." Or another way they put it, Roy Wrong Way. You know what he did? He went out and played one of the best second halves in college football. And for the rest of his life, Riegel would attribute those encouraging words as being the words that turned a tragedy into a triumph. Encouragement will keep you from drifting. It'll strengthen the faint-hearted. And then one last thing quickly. Encouragement helps a person to see God in tough times. See, that's really all you need when you're going through a tough time. You need to see God. You need to see God in it. Here's a perfect example of the Bible doing this. James 1:2-4. "Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy." How often do we do that? "Man, I am in hell, but I consider it great joy." Oh, what an opportunity to have joy. No, you're in the prayer line. "Pray for me before I go down and don't come back up." Now listen, "For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. Let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing." Here's what he's saying. Don't worry, be happy. God's at work even in your discouragement and pain. He's got this, he's got you, and he's going to work this out for your good. Chin up. When this is all over, you're going to be a fully developed saint of God, looking more like Jesus than you ever have. You can't lose when the greatest winner of all time lives inside of you. You can't.
You've been listening to Life Talk with Pastor Jeff Wickwire. It would mean the world to us to know how the program has helped you today. So take a quick minute and give us a call at 877-884-3111. Or you can connect with us at our website, lifetalkradio.us. And if you enjoy the program as much as we love bringing it to you, let us know by your generous support. It would really mean a lot to us. There are daily costs associated with the program, and we truly do depend on the faithful financial support of our listeners, like you, to allow us to be on this station. So please consider partnering with us today with your gifts to this ministry. Your valuable contribution makes a huge difference to us in helping to get the message of the gospel out to people everywhere. You can call us at 877-884-3111 or go to our website, lifetalkradio.us, and click on the Partner tab at the top of the homepage. Again, call 877-884-3111 or at our website, lifetalkradio.us. Thank you for your loyal partnership. Finally, Pastor Jeff is the founder and senior pastor of the vibrant Turning Point Church in Fort Worth, Texas. If you're ever in the area, we hope you'll stop by and say hi and let us know that you listen to the program. Pastor Jeff would love to meet you personally, too. So till next time, have a great day, and thank you for listening to Life Talk.